Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and this morning we have with us Dave Giesling, who's the CEO at Floor Expo. How you doing, Dave?
Fantastic, Kemp. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance. I know you invited me, but I didn't get a chance to go out to Cabo to your meeting a few weeks ago, and that's primarily why I wanted to talk to you. You had a meeting, I guess, what was it, about 2 or 3 weeks ago?
We did, the middle of November, down in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico.
Okay.
And had a great 10th anniversary celebration down there. A lot of interactive activities between members from both of the groups, both on the home solutions and the multifamily solutions sides. And obviously we took some time, Kemp, to look back over the last decade and an opportunity to look forward into the next decade. And we didn't spend a lot of time dealing with the realities of today. We spent more time there this year enjoying ourselves. So we did have business meetings for a solid day, and we also had a lot of R&R built into it.
Yeah, I think your membership is roughly, I think, about 90 members that represent about 250 locations. Did you have a pretty good turnout?
We did. I mean, there's no question, Kemp, that we were affected by, the turnout was affected to some extent by the economy. And, you know, in some cases in tertiary markets, we may not have had some smaller members attend that normally would attend. Certainly in several cases where a member may bring many members of their management team to convention, those numbers were reduced. It's just a part of the reality that we're dealing with today.
Yeah. So it was primarily the owners?
Oh, sure. But there was clearly an impact, but we also clearly had it. Literally, in my opinion, the best event that we've ever had.
Well, that's fantastic. So you were celebrating 10 years. You know, I do need to make one comment. A lot of people may not realize, of those 90 members or so that you have, you know, when you look at our top 100 list that we do every November, I mean, that about one-third of the top 100 accounts on that list are members of your organization. So it's a pretty elite organization, some people that are, you know, that are moving some flooring, have some good revenue numbers. So you have an impressive group. And also, I think it probably we should just remind people that of your organization, you basically have two sectors, right? You have the single-family market represented and the multifamily market represented, right?
That's correct.
Well, give us a couple of highlights from your meeting.
We tend, Kemp, to go to some pretty nice places for these meetings. And in the past, we've heard that perhaps we've worked the members a little bit too hard, meaning there was some element of torture with them sitting inside looking out windows at beautiful landscapes while we worked maybe a little bit too hard. So we did dial it back this year. I think we spent the majority of the time in both groups working on strategic initiatives, and you know, some of those we'd be happy to talk about here, and some, of course, not. I think, generally speaking, obviously a lot of folks get terrified when there are substantial downturns and uncertainty and things of that nature in the market. We personally believe that the greatest opportunities for movement take place in a down market, and obviously the fruits of those efforts and the things that you modify and change during those times are not really seen until things turn around. But they will turn around. There's no question about it. We're in a very difficult time, but it won't last forever. And now we view as the time to really focus on two areas. One is taking market share, which we are doing successfully, and two is improving the memberships of businesses at every imaginable level. So strategic initiatives was a big thing. I think, generally speaking, the attitude was extremely positive. Obviously, we're going through some difficult times, particularly on the builder side of the business, but the attitude is very positive. You know, members are focusing on these two things at the local level as well. We're doing some things to successfully pursue national account business in both groups. The implementation of business affinity programs, a lot of different agreements we may have in place with various business service providers across the country, has increased dramatically within the group. And for the first time ever, there was what I would call a substantial focus on actually programming some product during our national convention event. And it has a lot to do with the circumstances unfolding in the industry today, obviously. But Andy Hogan did a fantastic job delivering a wide variety of Delta products to our membership on both sides, both in single and multifamily. And there's a lot of traction within the membership to support those products through the system, really to an extent that I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. So all those sorts of things have been unfolding. Again, you know, obviously a lot of networking and so forth. Just a very good and positive event, Kemp.
Yeah, that's probably the main reason they go down there. I mean, I'm sure the programs you offer them, you know, are valued, but I mean, the reason they're coming down there is to meet with the guys that are going through the same things and I guess share best practices and things like that, isn't it?
Yeah, I happen to think that networking is extremely important. I think I've said for years, as hard as we work to deliver a wide variety of value-added programs to our members, one has to admit if they run a group of successful and large independently owned and operated businesses, that networking is always very near the top of the list when you talk to members about value they get out of the group. No question about it.
And some of the competitors that these members are up against, some of them are heavily leveraged, and there's probably a chance that, you know, while this is painful for your membership, they're probably strong enough to survive it, and it might open up some opportunity. Is that right?
Oh, there's no question, Kemp. I mean, cash is king right now. There's no question about that. And certainly well-financed businesses are going to be much better positioned to survive this downturn. You know, 2008's been very difficult. 2007 was not easy. And 2009 is going to be, is by all accounts, worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. And the only the strong will survive. And we feel like the membership is well-positioned to do that. I mean, obviously, we have seen a lot of, you know, right-sizing is not big enough of a word for the adjustment in sizes of, you know, staffs and things of that nature in many residential foreign contractor operations across the country, whether they be a part of Floor Expo or not. But there is the ability to do that, to right-size the business, to sharpen the saw, as Stephen Covey might say, get better at what we do. A lot of good things are coming from this where you have to take a long, hard look at some of the you know, the sins that volume have hidden for so long now. And I expect that you'll see a group emerge, and we think this is the kind of profile you'll see within our membership where these businesses will sort of emerge from this downturn and have a greater share of the business than they've ever had before. And I think there's a very bright future long-term in the business. And, you know, we'll come out of it, but hopefully, Kemp, we don't come out as aggressively and rapidly as the steepness of the downturn might dictate.
Yeah.
Because we want to come out with sustainable growth.
Right.
And, you know, that's the goal long term. But some of those things we can't control. We just need to do what we can deal with now and be ready when the opportunity presents itself.
Well, you know, when we're looking at the economy and we're, you know, throwing out statistics, we're always throwing out year over year numbers. Let me just pick up on something you said a minute ago. You said you think 2009 might be even worse than 2008. Aren't there some people out there that are thinking that maybe by the second half of the year we might be able to see this thing starting to tick back up, or is that what you're seeing?
I would venture a guess, Kemp, that if you looked hard enough,
yeah,
you could find a pundit that would tell you anything between we might start to see a recovery in spring of 2009 to it might be 10 years from now. And I think the bottom line is, if you get the sense that someone is telling you that they know what is going to happen with a great degree of confidence,
yeah,
it's probably a good time to stop listening.
Right.
And there's so many variables, so much uncertainty right now. We've come out of a presidential election where an incumbent was not running for the first time in 50 years.
Yeah.
And the political environment is certainly testy, at least at the moment. And we've got unprecedented economic issues that we're dealing with. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty. There are, you know, some bottom line issues or some positives as you look forward. I mean, first thing you look for is, are we hitting bottom or bouncing on bottom?
Yeah.
And in September, you know, we saw some good, you know, new home sales numbers start to bounce back up. The new side was up about 2.7%, and I think the existing side was up 5.5%.
That's right.
You see 3-month bonds starting to level out a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe slide, which is a great sign of investor confidence.
Yeah.
And that's a very positive thing. There's pent-up demand. The average house, I think, in the country is over 32 years old. We've had at least 300,000 obsolete units per year, which contributes to that, you know, about 1.5 million unit consumption rate that we've historically had, which, by the way, we outproduced for 5 years in a row.
Yeah, so 300,000 have gone away. They've been torn down. Is that what you're saying?
Well, every year, about 300,000 units, households
yeah.
go, yeah, they just become obsolete. So
yeah.
the average age, when I speak of pent-up demand, is in excess of 32 years now. And you're looking at somewhere just south of 15 million household formations, which will unfold in the next decade. That's not going to stop.
Yep.
People are still having babies.
Right.
You know, Jay Smith at Floor Expo likes to say all the time, it's still the American dream to own a home.
Yeah.
Too many probably got into a position where they own their homes. We were in the 69-70% range there and are still fairly close at the moment. Statistically speaking, the number is supposed to be somewhere in the 61-62% range of the population that ought to be homeowners. And I find it rather interesting that, we've got 6 or 7% of mortgages that are in some form of delinquency at this point. So it's very consistent, that data, in terms of where equilibrium is and where the total percentage of homeownership needs to be in the country. But there's great pent-up demand. People aren't going away. Echo boomers are lining up. There are over 70 million of those coming down the pipe. We talk about baby boomers. Echo boomers will be big.
Yeah.
Land is priced right, to say the least.
Yeah,
multifamily industry pundits suggest that it is not overbuilt. The multifamily segment we see is very healthy and viable right now, and obviously when credit sorts itself out, hopefully that will continue to run at a good pace going forward.
Yeah. Just a couple other statistics. Mortgage rates are down and continuing to move in the downward fashion. While there is a 10.5-month supply of new homes, housing starts are at their lowest since, I think, 1959, according to the guide, NHB. So, this thing could clean itself up and start turning around. I guess that's what we're all hoping for, right?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, it's, in a way, it's good news in terms of, this pent-up demand concept, that it's there and it continues to percolate. And the longer this downturn continues, the more of that festering will be taking place, and the greater the chances are that bubble will begin to open back up and business can flow again. And like I said, I just hope that we come out at a rate that's sustainable going forward.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things we got to worry about, and I think Jay may have even said this at your meeting, is fear. I mean, we got to get out from under this fear.
Oh, no question about it. It's a big deal right now. Consumer confidence is huge. And, I mentioned earlier the 3-month bonds. I mean, investor confidence is a big thing that's fueling consumer confidence right now. When you turn on the TV or pick up the paper and the market's up 900 points one day, down 7 the next, up 3, down 8, it doesn't even faze you.
No,
to the extent that it used to.
We're numb.
It affects consumer confidence, and that just takes some time to go away, and it's consumer confidence is a fragile thing, but it also can return rather quickly when the planets line up correctly.
Yeah. Well, we're about to run out of time. I think you did honor a couple of folks down there in Cabo with some awards. I think you gave Tom Lape an award, didn't you?
Surely did. Tom, we presented Tom with our Vision and Dedication Award, and his support and view of the strategic partnership between Mohawk Industries and Floor Expo has been fantastic. I mean, we've started this at a point in time when it's very difficult to understand what lies ahead in the next month, let alone the next quarter or calendar year. But he's been incredibly supportive. That support runs throughout that organization. Our membership is highly engaged with them, and we're seeing very positive results at this point. And just felt like it was appropriate to recognize Tom and present that award to him and not only in front of the membership but in front of his peers as well.
All right. I appreciate you spending time with us today. We've been talking to Dave Giesling, and we've been talking about Floor Expo's annual meeting down in Cabo, Mexico. And you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.